Okay, good afternoon. Thanks as always to the Frohlich Financial Group for sponsoring our afternoon kollel. Today we are going to examine, in anticipation of the countdown to Shavuos, but not relevant only to Shavuos, a question around which there is a great myth. And we'll see whether it's a myth or a fact. And the question is, what shape were the Luchos? What did the Luchos, the great tablets that we're going to celebrate that Moshe Rabbeinu received on Shavuos, what did they look like? Were they round on top? Were they square? Were they rectangular? What was written? Was it written on one side? Was it written on all sides? So fundamental to our own history, such a seminal event, a one-time event, the giving of these luchos, the first set of luchos, were miraculous. They were designed by the Ribono Shel Olam, by the Almighty, the ultimate engineer himself, the ultimate sculptor himself. They literally carried a miracle, we're going to see. And even after Moshe smashed the first set of luchos, the second were modeled after the first. So what did they look like? And the truth is, there are many misconceptions or myths that have entered into our own illustrious history thanks to Renaissance art and the like. And if you look on the cover page, you see a few examples of it. The top row, St. John's Church, the Gothic bust of Moses from 1390. Moses by Michelangelo in 16th century. Rembrandt's Moses with the Ten Commandments, 1659. I did not personally visit, nor halachically is it simple to visit, but thank God I visited Google Images. And that is halachically simple, simpler. Maybe not simple, but simpler to visit. So you see in those depictions by famous artists and sculptors, Michelangelo, Rembrandt, and so on, what do the luchos look like? They are round on top. So is that accurate or inaccurate? How many people say the luchos were in fact rounded on top? I probably wouldn't be giving this class if they were, so you're all smart enough to have figured that piece out. Oh, so if we look at our own embarrassing paroches behind us, I had nothing to do. We're going to have to replace the paroches at the end of the shir here in the back davening room. Oh, so you'll see that in most, not only Christian, Middle Age, Renaissance art depictions where they rounded on top, but in many, many shuls as well. The typical paroches, if you look on the cover on the right, the bottom right picture, is the typical paroches, which ours is one. I wonder if you can even order a paroches where the luchos are not rounded on top. But the typical one has them rounded on top. There in Beverly Hills, there's a picture of a shul where they're square on top on the left. So what we're going to spend our time examining is, historically, what were they? How did they look? Why did they look that way? And what are the lessons that we can glean from it, which are very insightful and inspirational about Kabbalah Satorah in general? Every single day they're supposed to be Chadashim. We have a holiday designated called Shavuos, but the truth is every day is Shavuos. Every day is a new Kabbalah Satorah. B'chol Yom Vayom, every day they're supposed to be as if accepted anew. So we receive and re-accept the Torah each and every day. You know, there's the old Palm Pilot. I gave a drasha once. Anyone remember what a Palm Pilot was? It was the most cutting edge. You could keep your schedule on it, and you'd bring it and hook it through a cord to a computer, and it would sync. It was mamash cutting edge. Anyway, so you used to be able to download entire texts on it. Today you could download an app on your phone. And I remember then, this is many years ago, downloading the text, and it said, because it will always double check before you, in fact, receive the app on your device, it said, "Do you accept the Torah?" I looked at my screen. It was a very profound question. It's very powerful. Apple, iOS was challenging me. Do you accept Torah? Well, do I accept Torah? It's a good question. So we re-accept Torah each and every day. Source number one. Why would it make a difference? Okay, good. We'll see. Source number one, the Torah tells us in Shmos, Perek Lamed Beis. Moshe descended from the mountain and he held, this is where we're told, what he held were Shnei Luchos Ha'edus. He held two Luchos, are tablets. A Luach is a board, a tablet. He held two tablets of testimony. Luchos Ksuvim Mishnei Evrayim Mize Umizehim Ksuvim. They were unusual tablets. You know, your iPad or your Google tablet or your Chrome tablet or whatever they make, you can only use them on one side. These tablets, Mishnahavdil, Mishnei Evrayim, Mizeu Mizein Ksuvim, they were inscribed on one side and on the other side. They were inscribed on both sides. This notion that there were two, Shnei Luchos, their purpose was testimony. They sat in the Aron, both the luchos v'shivrei luchos, by the way, not only were the whole tablets, but the shards, the shattered pieces of the broken tablets, were also swept up, collected, and placed right next to the whole tablets. That's a drasha for another time, that we hold on to the broken pieces. They sit right next to the whole moments, because our broken moments and our whole moments sit side by side. They inspire who we are. Both were in the Arom, and their purpose was Eidus. They were tablets of testimony. Says the Medrash Tanchum in source number 2, a very beautiful Medrash. Shnei luchos avanim, why were there two tablets? You know, we take it for granted always there are two tablets, right? The image of Moshe holding up the two tablets, take two tablets, call me in the morning, two tablets. We always take for granted there are two. Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu present it on one? Why not write it on one tablet? So the two aris obviously are not coincidental or random. They correspond with something. And here the Medrash Tanchuma tells us what it corresponds with. Shnei luchos avanim keneged choson vekala. It corresponds with the bride and groom. Keneged sheshesh binin. It corresponds with the bridesmaid and groomsmen. Keneged shamayim va'aretz. It corresponds with heaven and earth. Keneged shnei sofrim. Corresponds with the two scribes. Keneged shtei toros. The two toros, Torah shebechtav v'Torah shebaaleh. Corresponds with, because Baruch Hu gave Moshe on that fateful day both the written Torah and its companion, the oral Torah. Keneged shnei olamos, olam hazeh v'olam haba. The two worlds, the physical dimension that we live in and the world to come, the world of eternity and immortality. Shnei luchos amar b'chanina luchos ksiv shelo hayu gedolim zeh mizeh ela shneim shavim v'yisapsula shneim ke'echad. Shnei luchos tells us that they were exactly symmetrical. They were the exact same size. So it's a very beautiful medrash. That the number 2 is not coincidental. There were two luchos because the Torah represents the union, the bond. It reflects all of these themes of the number 2. The love of a chassan and kala. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the luchos, like the ring on the kala's finger. Har Sinai was the chuppah. Shavuos is our anniversary. Or Yom Kippur is our anniversary of making up. The second time we remarried. Or Shemayim v'aretz, heaven and earth. The luchos, again, the beautiful symbolism, is that the luchos, the Torah, is the bridge that bonds heaven and earth. We live down here on earth, and we operate in the physical world, and we're tempted by physical appetites, and we have physical needs. So how do we connect to eternity and immortality? How do we reach for Shemayim? Shnei luchos, the Torah, Shemayim v'aretz. And again, Hashem and the Jewish people. Well, that's Chasson Mikal is Hashem and the Jewish people. Could have said more explicitly, Hashem and the Jewish people, but that's the illusion of Chasson Mikal. This world, it teaches me, it illuminates the path for me, how to live life in this world, but it also tells me how to gain entrance to the world to come. It's a very, very beautiful medrash that the number 2 is not coincidental. Torah is brought to us by the number 2 because the Torah is that which bonds together or is the bridge between all of these two polarities or the dualities, all of these different things that are the number 2. But the Medrash also tells us that these luchos, they were symmetrical. These luchos were the same. Now something interesting, Rabbi Nebachia has a comment. Luchos ksuvim mishnei evreim zem izek ksuvim. They were luchos that were written on both sides. Zaya pelagodol shaksav haya nikra kisiduro mishnei avarim. In other words, if I hold something up and I carve it all the way through, so it'll only read correctly from one side. If I look at it from the back, if you look at a tapestry from the back, it's loose threads. If you look at it, looks backwards. But these were miraculous tablets. And when you looked at it from either side, it read correctly from either side. Our writing, if I were to carve something all the way through, it would read correctly on one side, and on the back it would be mishkabibel. That's the technical word.
That's already based on the drasha that
chorus
means that it went through and through, because
chorus
would just be...
Chorus, it was engraved, correct.
On one side, engraved
correct.
On the other side.
Right, you could have inscribed it on both sides correctly. Chorus means it was engraved, it went, the writing went all the way through. Which the Gemara tells us, one of the miracles is the letter Samach and a Mem Sofis, which have engraved all the way around. If a human being would cut around a Samach or a Mem Sofis, the centerpiece would fall out. This was suspended in the middle. So there were several miraculous features. Now you understand why it's luchos ha'edus. They were testimony that they came from Hashem, because no human being could fashion, no human being could imitate such luchos. But one does Rabbeinu Bachya, why would Hashem exert himself to create such a miracle, that they were inscribed on both sides, something that we can't do. Says Rabbeinu Bachya, implicit in the fact that you could read it on both sides and it makes sense, is that the Luchos themselves communicated that there are several layers to Torah. There's certainly Pardes, Pshat, Remez, Drash, Sod, there's Shivim Panim LaTorah, there are 70 explanations of Torah. In other words, when you held the Luchos, you said, you know, these miraculous tablets, they're not only read one way. There's a multiplicity of ways they can be read. There's Nigla and Nister. There's the revealed Torah, and there's the hidden Torah, and that message was communicated just by looking at the physical components of the Luchos themselves. Now, the main description of the Luchos comes from the Gemara of Baba Basra, Daf Yadalad Amad Aleph. It's on page 2, source number 4. Let's look through this Gemara together. Says the Gemara, Meisvei, Aron Shasa Moshe, the ark that Moshe constructed, Amasayim Vachetzi Arko, 2.5 amas was its length, Va'ama Vachetzi Rachbo, 1.5 amas its width, Va'ama Vachetzi Komaso, and 1.5 amas its height. So in other words, it was 2.5 by 1.5 by 1.5. And Amma Bashisha Tvachim. How do you define an Amma for these purposes? 6 Tvachim. What's a Tefach? 3 to 4 inches, depends on who you ask. Good. Haluchos, Arkan Shisha Verachban Shisha Ve'avyan Shlosha. The two tablets, their length was 6 Tvachim, and their width was 6 Tvachim, and the thickness of each of the Luachs, the Luchos, was 3. Munachas Kenegid Arko Shel Aron. It lay side by side along the length of the Aron. Kama Luchos Ochlas Baron. How much did it take up? Shnei Masar Tvachim, 12 Tvachim. Right? Because it was 6 by 6. They sat side by side. That's 12. So Nishtai Risham Shalosh Tvachim. There's 3 left. Say, ma'am, Tefach. Take a Tefach away because the walls of the Aron themselves. Chetzi Lekosel Zeh V'chetzi Lekosel Zeh. Nishtai Risham Shnei Tvachim. Shebehen Sefer Torah Menuch. The original Torah, the scroll that Moshe had written, the separate klafim, those separate parchments which were combined to form the Torah, also sat next to the Luchos in this special Aron. Shnemar Ein Ba'aron Rak Shnei Luchos Avana Mashrin Aksham Moshe. Mai Ein Ba'aron Rak Mir Achar Mir Ein Mir Achar Mir Al Rabo Sefer Torah was Munach Ba'aron. So not only were there the two tablets, and there were the broken tablets, and there was the Mon, and there was a Sefer Torah, there was a lot. We can understand why the Aron is so special. In Siddur snippets, those who don't come, every day between Ilchamarav, we study, we're going through the Siddur. You can subscribe and get it on WhatsApp or listen online. But we're up to Hodu, and the first 2/3 of Hodu, the first 2 parts, come from Divrei Hayom. David HaMelech celebrates when the Aron is recaptured from the Plishtim. It's brought to Yerushalayim. And we understand the significance of the Aron. It had all of these things. It in itself was a miracle that projected miracles. So the Brisa continues. Pirnasta Aron La'arko. You've accounted the length of the Aron. Sayu Parnes Aron La'rachpo. What about the width? Kama luchos ochos baron. There shisha tefachim nishtayr sham shlosha tefachim. Say ma'am tefach chetz lekosel zeh chetz lekosel zeh. The walls of the aron took up half a tefach nishtayr sham shnei tefachim. Shlei sefer Torah nechnas v'yotzek shu dochuk. You don't squeeze the sefer Torah in. Divrei Reb Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Amar ba'ama bas chamisha tefachim. Ba'aluchas arkan shisha v'rachman shisha v'avin shlosha. Munachas baruchos shel aron. So we have this big discussion, exactly how did everything fit into the Aron. You have a picture on the bottom left, the aerial view of the Aron according to Rav Meir on the bottom. So there you have the two Luchos. You have the space, and the Torah next to it, versus the aerial view according to Rav Yehuda, how the Luchos fit in and where the Torah would go. Good. According to Rav Yehuda, he says, in the thickness. Yeah, I'm not sure. Correct. Okay, exactly. So it was miraculous how it continue with the Gemara there. Tosfos Rashi in source number 5 deals with this question of exactly how they fit in. The point I want to extract from here are the dimensions of the Luchos. How everything fit exactly in the Aron. Where the Aron is today is a separate topic. And do we have access? Should we have access? Could we recover it? We actually have a shir online about that topic, all the theories of where the Aron is. Soloveitchik felt it has to be in Har HaBayis. The Kedusha of the Bayis Sheni could only emanate from the Luchos, from the Aron. So even though we didn't have them in the Bayis Sheni, the Aron was buried underneath the Bayis Sheni. Although there's all kinds of theories, some of them conspiracy, some of them may be accurate. Yeah, maybe in Rome, maybe under Har HaBayis. You can go on RabbiEphraimGoldberg.org and find the Shir there. Source number 6, page number 3. Okay? So we know that the Luchos were 6 Tvachim by 6 Tvachim by 3 Tvachim, or in modern measurements, about 18 inches by 18 inches by 9. How do they know that? Because they were trying to calculate how they fit neatly into the Aron, as we just examined. What were they made out of? Evan. What kind of stone? Sapphire. Sapphire. Good. The Mabit has a fantastic insight into the Luchos and the way that they were and the way that the words appeared on them. Writes the Mabit, Rav Moshe ben Yosef Detrani in Tzvat. Source number 6. Midnei yeshayish ma'ala b'chamisha dibros harishonim min ha'achronim k'moshe amarnu. He says the following. I'll talk to you outside, then we'll look at it inside. The Gemara has a big discussion. We're not seeing that Gemara inside, but the Gemara has a big discussion about where was the writing on these Luchos. So we saw the dimensions. 6 by 6 by 3, about, again, depending on how you define a Tefach, 18 by 18 by 9. So 6 by 6 by 3. Where was the writing on these Luchos? So the first opinion the Gemara quotes is Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, that the Luchos had 5 Dibros on each. 5 and 5. And that's the image that we have. That's the image on the typical Aron, on the typical Paruchas rather. 5 and 5. The Chachamim held each Luach had all 10 commandments. All 10 appeared on each one. And Rav Shimon Bar Yochai held all 10 commandments were written twice on each Luach, once on the front and one on the back. You didn't need it written on top, and you didn't need it written on the bottom. Nobody saw that way. And you couldn't have it written on the sides because that was only, there was were different dimensions. It was 3 tefachim thick, but the surface of the front and the surface of the back were each 6 by 6. So you could have them written on the front and back. So Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel held 5 on each on one side. The Chachamim held all 10 commandments on each. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai held all 10 commandments twice on each luach. And Rav Simai held that the Aseres HaDibros were all written 4 times on each luach. So if the luach was a cube, it was written on all 4 sides of it, not on the top and not on the bottom, but the four sides. All right. So the widely held understanding of Simai is that the luchos were shaped like a cube, so therefore it could be on all 4 sides. Okay. In other words, a person would be able to read it from any side they were on. And here the Mabit has a fascinating. If you assume it was written 5 and 5, so how are the dibros divided? 5 and 5. What is the theme of the first 5? Ben Adam Lamakom, between man and God. And what is the theme of the second 5? Ben Adam Lachavero, between man and man. Of course, there's the fifth dibra, which is Kavedes Avicha Vesimecha. And where there's a big discussion, why would honoring parents be on the side between man and God? And that's all about what it means to honor our parents. When we honor our parents, it's actually an exercise in honoring authority. It is the experience of recognizing our sense of dependence, not independence. So implicit within honoring parents is honoring those who came before parents, going all the way back to God. The Gemara in Kedushin says, if you honor your parents, I treat it like you honored me. If you dishonor your parents, you've dishonored me. 5 and 5. Says the Mabit about these 5 and 5, look how it turns out. How many? Which has more words? The first 5 or the second 5? The first 5, Ben Adam Lamakom, if you pay attention on Shavuos morning when you're sleep deprived, or you pay attention Parshas Yisro or Parshas Veschanan when you'll be more awake, you'll notice there's a lot more words in the first 5, Ben Adam Lamakom, than in the second 5, the Ben Adam Lachavero. Says the Mabit, what does that mean then? If you want the words to take up the entire surface of what is allotted to them, and you have fewer words for the second surface than the first, what will you have to do with the second set of words? You'll have to have a bigger font. You remember back? Mm-hmm. You may not remember back. Maybe you'll remember back to when you had to submit a paper on your computer and it was supposed to be a certain amount of pages. So you played with the font until you got it to be the right amount of pages so you could submit the paper. I understand. I'm giving you a compliment that some of you remember that. Okay. Eli, you remember that? Shkoyach. So you played with the font until it turned out you had the right amount of pages to submit your paper. Says the Mabit, the Ribono Shalom had to play with the font. So it turned out that when you looked at the Luchos, which font was larger? Ben Adam Lachavero, the regulations between man and man were a much larger font. They looked like the script of a billboard. And the font of Ben Adam Lamakom was small letters like the fine print on the bottom of your mortgage. So, why was that? Wonders the Mabit. First, the Mabit shares this observation. Yesh mala b'chamisha dibros harishon min ha'achronim k'ma shamarnu v'yimshach mizesh shiyah haluach harishon mu'ula min ha'sheni ma'sheinu nirakeim b'pshar ha'ksuvim hutzuch l'ktas tanayu lomar b'yisham b'shkolon shekol aseres ha'dibros ha'yiksuvim b'choluach uluach. So, first the Mabit observes that really Ben Adam L'makom should be a higher level. The rules regulating our relationship with Hashem should be a higher level than between us and man. So maybe that governs how many were written on each one to make sure that the rules between Adam Ben Adam L'makom are on each one of the Dibros. He has a whole theory there. But then look at the second set of underline. Because the second set of five, the Ben Adam L'chavero is shorter, has fewer words. But the surface area is the same 6x6 tfachim. And you have fewer words to fill the same 6x6 tfachim. So the second set, the five rules between man and man, were a billboard, a large font. They screamed out at you. Whereas between man and God was smaller. Why? What's harder? To observe the laws between man and man or between man and God? We know people who shuckle and shul and have long shemona esrays and are very careful to only eat of the best hashgachas and are makbid and hilchos Shabbos and they're scrupulous in their halacha. But when it comes to lashon hara, and when it comes to being kind and courteous and nice, we know that Ben Adam L'Chavero struggles. The people who strive for Ben Adam L'Makom, but Ben Adam L'Chavero, how we treat other people, it struggles. Says the Mabit, the way the Luchos were designed, the Ribono Shel Olam was screaming out to us, pay attention to Ben Adam L'Chavero, even more than Ben Adam L'Makom. The big letters, the big font, the billboard, screaming out. Why? Because the Yetzirah, the inertia, the challenge of how we treat one another, the sinas chinam, the gossip, and the judgment, and the neglecting, and we're still in the period of Sfira, it's not yet like Ba'omer, Shalanagu, Kavod, Zebezeh. 24,000 students who were dedicated to Bein Adam L'Makom, who were poring over Torah, who were engaged in the world of Nochamta Shal Torah. But when it came to how they treated one another, they were absolutely spiritually bankrupt, so much so they gave their lives in a mass plague. So therefore, says the Mabit, the Luchos screamed out when you saw them, when you looked at them, the font of Ben Adam L'Chavero was so much larger. And if you look there, he has a picture, 6x6. And then here, this is his version. These are the two Luchos side by side. So to side by side, they look like a cube. That's why you see the 3 and 3. This is how he's reconciling all the opinions in the Gemara. So it's 6x6 height and width, and then 3 is the depth, but when you put the 2 3s depths side by side, you get an absolute cube. And then his opinion is that this cube had Aseres HaDibros, how many times?
All faces.
On all the faces. On all 6 sides, you had all 10 commandments. On the left of each of the surfaces where the Ben Adam L'Chavero, you see it's in the larger print, and on the right, with the Ben Adam L'Makom, which are in the smaller print. So the Luchos, when held together, formed an exact cube where the 10 commandments appeared on all 6 sides of the cube, the left side between man and man, large font, and the right side between man and God in the smaller font. That is the opinion of the Mabit.
This is the metric of the
It could still be inscribed all the way through. Inscribed all the way through. Certainly it can be inscribed all the way through where you're not putting them together. But even when you're putting them together, there was no... Kadosh Baruch Hu has no... Yeah, there's nothing holding Hashem... There's nothing holding him back for the miracles of how they appeared. Yes? Why did Hashem choose 10? There's 10 sayings, the world was created, and the 10 Dibros. That number 10 is a theme.
There's...
No, 10 is... No, these 10 are significant. There's a big machlokas where Rishonim all offer different opinions. It goes back to even Gemara about the 10 of the 10 commandments are actually archetypes. They are the avos of all of Torah and mitzvos. So if you take any of the 613, they fit into these 10 headings. These 10 headings. They all fit into these 10. And these 10, Rav Sadjagon says, these 10 fit into the first. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And the first fits into the first word, Anochi. So all 613 mitzvos can be reduced to 10, the Aseret HaDibros. All 10 can be reduced to the first Dibra, I am the Lord your God, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And the whole first Dibra can be reduced to the first word, Anochi. Kadosh Baruch Hu, Anochi. All the Torah and mitzvos are there to promote and support and reinforce and project a sense of Anoch. I have a relationship with the Hashem. Anoch, there is a God. He created the world. He has a relationship with me, and he has expectations of me. And from there flows all 613. Torah Tumim, Rav Baruch Halevi Epstein, source number 7, quotes the Rama Mipanu, one of the Rishonim, who has a different understanding. Here the Torah Tumim, first he writes all the different opinions that we mentioned, Rabbi Chanan ben Gamliel, the Chachamim, Rav Simai. How many, was it 5 and 5? Was it 10? Was it 20? Was it 40? How did it appear? So the Rama Mipanu says the following. Mashanira bezeh, mashakotso besefer asara ma'amoros the Rama Mipanu, ki kolachan me'atanayim mosiv al divrei chavero v'lo pliki. We quoted the four Tanaim are debating what exactly appeared on the Aseret HaDibros, and the Rama Mipanu wants to suggest that it's not a debate. Each of the Tanaim is adding on to what came before them. In other words, he's reconciling all the opinions in the Gemara. The Luchos were 6 Tvachim wide by 6 Tvachim high by 3 Tvachim thick. So on the front and the back of each Luach, there was a surface area of 6 by 6. You wrote all 10. On the sides, the top and the bottom, the surface was only 6 by 3. So only 5 commandments were written on the sides, top and bottom. So it comes out that each Luach had 10 commandments in the front, 10 in the back, 5 on the top, bottom, right and left sides, for a total of 40 commandments. So when Moshe descended from the mountain, these four opinions are based on what you were looking at. That they're not really disagreeing, they're all agreeing. What they're disagreeing is based on what you're looking at. And I say, if you describe an elephant, depends, are you standing in the back, in the front, underneath, from the side? 5 people can all describe radically different things, and they're all seeing the exact same thing. Depends what you're looking at. La'avdil, la'avdil, elef avdil avdolos. You're looking at the luchos because the dimensions were different from the different perspectives. Depending which angle you were looking at, you saw it looking like it had was showing different things. So therefore, Chanina ben Gamliel's opinion that there were 5 on each. Why? Because the writing was only visible from the sides where there was 5 on each. Then Moshe separated them, and he revealed on the front of each were all 10. That was the opinion of the Chachamim. When he held them up for Klal Yisrael to see, the 10 could be seen on the front and the back. That was Reb Shimon. And when he placed the Luchos before them to look more thoroughly, they saw the 5 were written on each side, a total of 40 on each, which is the opinion of Rav Simai. So depending on when and what they were looking at, they saw totally different things. So the Rama Mipanu, here the Torah Tumima quotes, says that they were not in fact disagreeing, it's reconciling all the opinions, but just based on what you were looking at. Rav Hirsch says the following, source number 8 of Shamshon Rav Hirsch in Choreb is described, I'm sorry, on the Torah, in his parish on the Torah, is describing the following. He says, the special characteristics of making of the tablets and the writing are told just here, not as might have been expected above. They must be in close connection, which was happening at the time. If a law is to be promulgated and the tablet on which it is to be brought is written on one side only, the one who is to publish it is placed in a definitive dictatorial position towards the mass people to whom he proclaimed it. He alone is the written law in front of him, and the mass must accept from him what he reads out to them. He is the definitive, indispensable intermediary between the people and the law. But if the same law, and especially here where it came to the people in the same directness from Hashem as it had come to Moshe, is visible on both sides, if the law presents itself all the time equally to Moshe and the people, then the law comes down directly to the nation, to every member of the nation. And Moshe disappears entirely from this transmission, becomes simply one of the people. The people can read the law to Moshe as well as he can read it to them. So that even if this man Moshe, Va'ish Moshe, disappears, the people do not require a Moshe. The Torah presents itself at all time directly from Hashem to every individual. It's a fantastic insight by the Rav Shamshon Yuval Hirsch, that the reason that it was engraved all the way through, and the reason that by design the Torah can be read from multi-directions, is to tell us that our access to Torah is not through Moshe. Yes, we have a fundamental belief in Mesorah. We have a fundamental belief in the transmission of Torah, Moshe Masra told Yeshua, Yeshua Zakenim, Zakenim Hashikinis Agadola. Absolutely, we have to have an unyielding fidelity and submission to the tradition and the transmission and the chain of Torah. But at the same time, we don't have Torah because of Moshe. We have Torah because God gave it equally to each and every one of us. So when I stand up and I authoritatively read something to you, only I read it from my perspective, and you are the listener, are the recipient. But when you can read it from multi-side, multi-dimensions, what Hashem was communicating through the unique way in which the Luchos were designed is that our access to Torah is by being Yidden, by being Jews. Jews have equal access to Torah. Moshe could read it to us, and we could read it to him. We are not limited to his interpretation. We are not, of course, he's the Ava Nevi'im. It's one of the principles of our faith. It's this emotion categorically different than every other human. But within that, we all have equal access to Torah. It's a very, very important thing. As opposed to other religions, Lahavdil, who have authoritative figures who say, in other words, Christians believe, Lahavdil, that God changed his chosen people and change direction altogether, all because they have the testimony of one, not Jesus, but his disciples. And Muslims believe that God whispered into Muhammad's ear, I've changed all the rules and I've changed the chosen people. So in contrast to other religions who think that God whispered into one person's ear, who then became the interpreter, the authority of a new reality, we say no. We all stood at Sinai. We were there. And Hashem gave us the Torah. And when Moshe, you're reading it to us, we could read it easily back to you, because we all have equal access to Torah. A very, very important message. So we saw both from Rabbeinu Bachya, who says that both directions reflect the Nigla and the Nister of Torah. The Mabit, who says that the design of the Luchos communicated the priority of Bein Adam LaMakom, of Bein Adam LaChavero, of our interpersonal relationships. Rav Hirsch, who says the design of the Luchos tells us we all have equal access to Torah. We're not just learning about how the Luchos were designed historically. It's not just a fascinating historical talk, but we're understanding the messages that were embedded within its very design. So what did they look like? What did they look like? When we saw the dimensions, we saw that our Masorah is 6x6x3. 6x6, there's no roundedness in 6x6. There is nothing in our Masorah that tells us these Luchos were rounded. The whole discussion how they fit in the Aron, and the whole tradition of their dimensions, is all assuming that they were squared, or cubed if you held them together. The one who was the most disturbed or spoke the most vehemently about this was the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Page 5, source number 9. The Rebbe in a Sicha. You want me to read it to you in the Yiddish or the English, Phil? For all of our sake, I'll read it in the English. This is a Sicha the Rebbe gave on Parshas Kisisa in 1981. And on the bottom left, you have a loose translation. I even underlined to impress you with my attempt to say I knew where he was saying with the English part. Zenon zavaya chatzi igul achatzi kader. Okay, I'll do it in the English. With regard to the question, how could someone be nichshol with an obvious thing? We find the same thing with the luchos. He was talking about something altogether, and he says, how could someone make such an obvious mistake? And he says, what do you mean? We see people who make such an obvious mistake when it comes to the luchos. You have Jewish organizations uncompromising in Torah, and they emphasize that the Jewish people are not like everyone else, and yet, in the simple thing, they put pictures of the luchos that are opposite of what the Gemara tells us. Gemara says the luchos fill the aron in the shape of the aron. And from there, it is obvious that they have to be four-cornered. With absolutely no source, the luchos were round on top. How'd this come about? Jews would send their svarim off to be printed, and generally they were printed by non-Jewish printing houses. But the publishers would censor. The author would put a picture of luchos on top, and the non-Jews switched it to a rounded top. We only cared about what was inside the sefer, so we ignored the incorrect change. But the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he said, it was terrible. We are so loyal to every detail, to the minutia of our Masorah, and here, there's no legitimate valid opinion they were rounded on top, and therefore the Rebbe had a big campaign. If you see on page 6, in all the Lubavitch publications, the Rebbe had a big campaign to return the image of the Luchos to the accurate depiction of what they were. Whether it was Merkaz L'Inyanei Chinuch, or the Sichas L'Noar, Ufaratzta, the Tzirei Agudas Chabad, where there's the picture of the Rebbe holding a Torah, where the mantle of the Torah, unlike many of our mantlach, has not rounded but squared. The Rebbe was very disturbed. Disturbed that it had been distorted what the Luchos should look like. These are our sacred Luchos. These are our holy Luchos. And the image of the Luchos was being distorted. He's not the only one. Rav Moshe Sternbach, source 10, on the last page, page 7. And the Shuvas van Hagos also has a discussion of this. And he says the following. There's a shul that had paruches, or had an image of the luchos on the aron, and they were rounded on top. And this is Christian influence. Moreover, So Rav Moshe Sternbach is approached by somebody, a shul, that is the following shaila. The shul hung up a paroches, or a picture, or the image of the aron, or the aron doors themselves are made like luchos, and they're rounded on top. So first of all, the Gemara mentions that at one point we used to recite the Aseres HaDibros every day. We took it out. And why do we take it out? So as not to suggest that these 10 are more important than the other 603. There's a big discussion. The Rambam, whether you stand for the Aseres HaDibros, you don't stand for the Aseres HaDibros. The Rambam was against standing for the Aseres HaDibros because you're suggesting that these three are more important than the other 603. So do you stand for the whole Aliyah? Do you stand for everything? We've given a shir on that too another time. What do you stand for? So says Rav Sternbach, first of all, maybe you shouldn't be hanging up the luchos to begin with. We don't emphasize these over the other 603. And if you are hanging them, how dare we hang the Christian depiction? He says, but what could you do? Meanwhile, we have this minhag, and it's hard to say it's only the influence of the non-Jews. Maybe it's just we've taken some artistic liberty to make it more aesthetically pleasing and pretty. Says it's an artistic liberty. It's not supposed to be the accurate historical depiction of the luchos, and therefore it's an artistic liberty. He says it's not only the influence of the Christians, and therefore Rav Sternbach says lechatchila maybe you shouldn't put it up. But I don't know that anybody should be against it, and you shouldn't demand it be taken down. He says, but because there are people complaining, we instructed the craftsmen to cut off the rounded part. He was writing this tshuva while still living in South Africa. You don't have to shry a vek in the shul unless there are people who have already made something out of it. So it would be good to change it. But if they haven't made something out of it, there's nothing wrong with leaving it that way. That's the way we've had it for a long time. And therefore it is fine. The Masifta in the Aliba de Hilchasa section, the last source number 11, also quotes a halachic discussion about the same thing. Tshuvas Betzel HaChochma. As we said, some are opposed to having the depiction of the Aseres HaDibros at all. suggesting it is more important or it is more binding than the other 603. And so on and so forth. He has a discussion about this. So,
what is the bottom line?
The bottom line is that there is absolutely no basis to say they were rounded. Historically, it is inaccurate. Does that mean halachically it is incorrect to have it up as a depiction? As long as you say it's a loose rendering, an artistic rendering, then Rav Moshe Sternbach holds it's permissible. Others, Lubavitch Rebbe, was fundamentally opposed to it. But what we saw is that the notion that the luchos were rounded on top is a pure myth. They absolutely were not. They were 6 by 6 by 3, either a cube, 6 by 6 by 6 when you held them together, or 2 6 by 6 by 3. That is from the Gemara. There is no debate about that. And we saw between Rabbeinu Bachya, the Mabit, Rav Hirsch, that the very, very beautiful messages to take away about the number 2, Chasan and Kala, Shemayim Va'aretz, Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, Torah Shebaseh, Torah Shebapeh, that the 2, the Torah, is that thing that binds us all together.